Soul music is filled with stories of performers who switched from gospel to pop, like Sam Cooke and Aretha Franklin. But there's only one act which stayed gospel and was popular with soul and pop fans. Ed Ward tells the story of the Staples Singers, who began in the Mississippi Delta and went all the way to Talking Heads.
Roebuck Staples was born in 1915 in Winona, Mississippi, and 8 or 9 years later, he left school to hang around with the local blues men, most notably Charlie Patton, who sometimes lived on a neighboring plantation. From Patton, he picked up some guitar and occasionally worked as a sort of roadie for Patton and the blues men who traveled with him all over the Delta playing on weekends, blues men who included a young Howlin' Wolf and, maybe, Robert Johnson. Patton may also have inspired young Roebuck in another way. When the money was good and the opportunity presented itself, he worked as a preacher, using the name Elder Hadley. By the mid-30s, Staples was singing and playing guitar in a local gospel group, the Golden Trumpets, and, like many black residents of the Mississippi Delta, in 1941 he moved with his young family to Chicago. He had 4 young children to support, Cleotha, Purvis, Yvonne, and Mavis, and he worked in a gospel group called the Windy City Gospel Jubilees. The kids started singing while he was practicing guitar, and before long, Roebuck started home workshops, gathering them in the living room and working out harmonies with them. In 1948, he decided they were ready, and they started barnstorming Chicago churches as the Staples Singers. Cleotha, the eldest, was 14. Mavis, the youngest, was 11.
Oh, they tell me. Oh, the home. Where no storm clouds abide. Oh, they tell me.
The Staples Singers weren't at all in the mold of most quartets and quintets on the circuit. Roebuck's guitar, pushed through an eerie reverb, wove through the family harmonies with all the darkness of Delta blues instead of just chunking out chords. For another thing, their repertoire, like Uncloudy Day, which we just heard, came as much from the white Southern church as the black church. One of their standout numbers was May the Circle Be Unbroken from the White Carter family. Their recordings, starting with the ones they made for VJ in 1952, sold well in the gospel field, mostly because they didn't sound like anyone else.
This may be my last time. This may be my last time, children. This may be my last time. Maybe my last time.
By the time they recorded This May Be the Last Time in 1960, Roebuck knew it was time to move on. They'd begun to get some recognition from college audiences as the folk revival swept campuses, so they signed with a folk and jazz label, Riverside, and then were snatched up by Epic, where they began to get daring.
My friend, you know this soul was in a bad condition. Just the other day, I saw a group of little children trying to ride a school bus. By them being of a different nationality, They weren't allowed to ride the bus. And I imagine if you would ask them about this matter, they would have a word like this to say. Why am I treated so bad?
Nobody was fooled by Roebuck saying the kids were of a different nationality. The message was clear and shocking to a gospel world still trying to figure out if Martin Luther King was safe to back or not. The Staple Singers took their opinions straight into the churches, and Epic recorded it on one of the greatest live gospel albums ever. There were the expected grumblings from other gospel acts, but the family forged on. In 1968, they signed to Stax Records in Memphis, where their first single was Long Walk to D.C., fronted by an exuberant Mavis. Then came When Will We Be Paid for the Work We've Done, a catalog of black grievances very much in tune with the times. 1970 saw the beginning of a change. Purvis left the group to take over their management, and middle sister Yvonne joined. Roebuck's nickname, Pops, became official. And Stax executive Al Bell decided they should record in Muscle Shoals, where they recorded their first number one hit, I'll Take You There, and this historic moment. Everyone concerned swore they'd never heard reggae when this was recorded, but with its dub-like bass solo and chunky beat, it sounded like nothing America had ever heard before. The Staple Singers continued through Stax's bankruptcy and collapse, rescued by Curtis Mayfield, who'd obviously learned something from Pop's guitar playing, and gave them another number one hit, Let's Do It Again, in 1975. There were stints at Warner's and something called Private Eye, where they hit with an unlikely version of Talking Heads' Slippery People, which, against all odds, was great. It would take one thing and one thing only to bring an end to the Staple Singers' story, and it came on December 19, 2000, when Roebuck Pop Staples passed on after a fall in his home, aged 82.
Rock historian Ed Ward lives in Berlin. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer is Roberta Shurrock. Our engineer is Fred Snyder. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. I'm Terry Gross. Oh, I know what the lace.
Take you there.